Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today you're going to be telling us all about the changes you've made to our network. So just run through the whole thing, how you prepared for it, what your plan was, what you decided, you know, the things that happened. So go ahead.
Yeah, so this is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at our Meraki MX60W.
Well, first tell us where we're at and what you're trying to achieve.
Okay. So let's kind of give a general overview here. Originally, we were looking at the network and saying there's not enough switch ports. And so we want to add a new switch. And then I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, well, what devices have to be there and what do we need to get rid of and what do we need to clean up? Because a lot of it is not documented properly. And there may be some things on the network that we just don't need to have. So again, I'm looking at the MX60W, which is a Meraki device, and that's almost end of life. And we have our Cisco switch. We have devices on the network that, like I said, may not need to be there. We don't have a lot of documentation, so we got to do that again. And then we just need to clean things up because some of the stuff is just a mess.
And there are some reasons why you want to clean it up as well, like you want to do some things with our test network.
Yeah, and so as I started this process, right, we have our Cisco network lifecycle where we do prepare, plan, design, and then we implement things. Well, as I was going through that process, I was having issues because we're talking about a live network. The Meraki is already in place. The Cisco switch is already in place. If I make a mistake in how I configure these devices in terms of deleting things, adding things, I could take things offline. And so I have to be careful about how I do these things because I don't want to damage it and then have nothing. So as I began to, you know, do my prepare and plan and look at the configuration of the Meraki and of the Cisco, I see all this stuff in there that we're just not using and some stuff that's old that should have been gotten rid of a while ago. And there's not a whole lot of documentation that we have to explain what we were doing, why we have them, what we were going to move to. And some of that slowly started to come back, and I started to see things that, okay, there was a reason why we did this. There was a reason why we were supposed to get rid of the old stuff, but we're not using all of it. So I'm going to just clean things up and make things better. So as I was going to do that, I realized I need to have a network design of some kind, some idea of what the thing is going to look like once we're done.
So tell us about the network design that you decided on.
So we have our Meraki that connects us to the internet, and then we have our Cisco switch. So it goes internet, Meraki, Cisco switch. And we have a bunch of VLANs, a bunch of subnets, a bunch of routing happening. So what I wanted to do was simplify things a little bit. And so just give me the essentials. What things do I have to have on there? And then let's get them organized better. Put them in the right spot, get the routing configured properly, get the switching configured properly, so that we can use them in a way that makes sense. And we have to worry about things like testing, because that's a lot of what we do. We do testing of different services. We do testing of servers. And we don't want to have that on a live network because that could damage things. Could, you know, we could be in a situation where we make a mistake and do something that shouldn't be done. Like if you want to do a testing where you need your own DHCP server. You need your own DNS. Well, I can't have you do that on a live network that I'm using to connect myself to YouTube and my Gmail and all of that. So we're going to have to figure out how to do those kinds of things safely. And so that also has to be part of the network design. But for now, as a cleanup process, I just want the essentials. So again, we have to have Wi-Fi. We also have to have our servers. And then we need a network for plugging things into a wired network for workstations, laptops, and then our printer. So what I'm looking at now is those essential things. Everything else needs to go away. And then when we figure out what we want to have in terms of testing and other things that need to be plugged into the network, I can slowly add those back in once I have the essentials taken care of. And then we're going to have to figure out where does the server live? Where does our testing happen? And so what I'd like to do is have two separate islands where we have the Meraki all by itself and the certain essential things are going to be plugged in there. And right now that actually provides us with our Wi-Fi.
Okay, when you say essential things plug into the Meraki, what are you talking about?
things like maybe the printer. And then we have Wi-Fi and we have internet, right? So those are essential things that we have to have. The rest, if it were to go away, I still want the Meraki to be there and provide us with those essentials. I have Wi-Fi. I have wired internet if I need it, you know, so because like my workstation, my new workstation, it doesn't have Wi-Fi. So let's say, for example, our Cisco switch dies because we had one die, the one that was on your desk, it died. So what happens if that happens, right? Now we have nothing. So I need to be able to take my workstation, plug it into the Meraki, and at least have internet and I can print, right? So those are some things that we want to take into consideration as we design the new network. So before we do that, let's get rid of all the junk and let's just go with the essentials. And then we can slowly move things off of like that unmanaged switch that we have. We can use that for testing purposes, but I don't want that to be something that we use on a regular basis, which we have been.
Yeah, but you know, I really want to get rid of it altogether only because when we're doing a project where we're trying to learn switching and routing, you know, to have unplug and play thing or whatever you want to call it and manage switch is not helpful. You're not going to learn switching by plugging into it and having it do whatever it is that it does, you know?
Yeah, and those are things that we're going to have to take into consideration. So far, this is what I've done here. These are some of the changes that I've made. I removed unused VLANs and subnets. I removed the Section 9 Wi-Fi network because you used to connect to that. So did I. But that had a goofy subnet in there and it was something I had to get rid of.
But wasn't it doing something else, eating up something?
Yeah, so there's the other thing is with the Meraki, we have a couple of issues there. One, it's going to be end of life soon, no more updates. So we have a couple of years, I think, before that happens, but we may end up replacing it sooner than that. And then the Wi-Fi on it, you can have multiple SSIDs where you put in like things like Section 9 or whatever you want to call your Wi-Fi, but I think we're using too many on one device, and so I want to simplify that.
And also it can do 5 and 2 at the same time, right?
Right. So there's the 5 gigahertz and the 2.4, and all the new stuff can do both at the same time.
Right.
This one only does one, and so we've had issues where there was just interference, and the 2.4 just wasn't working. But then we have older devices that don't do 5. So, you know, there's a lot of things you have to take into consideration when you do Wi-Fi. So that's something we're going to have to fix. We're going to put in a different access point that's hopefully better, and we're going to have to test that at some point because, you know, that Wi-Fi needs to be replaced. And then I did something with VLAN 1. So VLAN 1 no longer does anything. So by default, all your ports are going to be in VLAN 1.
The native VLAN.
Yes, the native VLAN. And so what I wanted to do was set that up so that it didn't go anywhere. Now, in the Meraki, what's interesting is that you have to have a subnet VLAN combination. It doesn't let you create a VLAN without a subnet. So, okay, fine. I'll just put in a goofy subnet. We'll leave it in there, call it good. And that's just kind of a safety thing in larger organizations for like security reasons. And not just security reasons, but even operational ones. They'll oftentimes put unused ports on a switch into a separate VLAN that doesn't go anywhere, so that somebody can't just come along and plug a device in and do stuff.
So they can plug in the device, but since the VLAN doesn't go anywhere, they just kind of sit there and they can't infiltrate the network, right?
Right. And then it also helps you manage what you have on the network, because then they can't plug in something that shouldn't be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that you want to take into consideration. So those are the changes I've made so far. Not a whole lot, but there was a bunch of junk in there. And I realized as I was trying to go through our Cisco network lifecycle and make changes to the network that trying to take on too many things at once was probably going to be a bad idea, and that, you know, you make too many changes and then all of a sudden something doesn't work and you're not sure why. So in these smaller changes, it's easier, and we don't have to worry about, you know, major things happening. If something happens, I can go put it back.
Right. I mean, and when you make a small change like that, it's kind of like you're able to troubleshoot it easier, because if you made 3 or 4 changes, you're not going to know the change that broke whatever it is that's broken now. So I think that's a really good plan.
And I did actually make a mistake, and I did actually break things. So on the Meraki, what I didn't realize is that the subnet and VLAN combinations are stuck together. VLAN 1 is the native VLAN, and I decided to get rid of that on the Meraki. Well, there's a trunk going from the Cisco switch to the Meraki, and so when I got rid of native VLAN 1, it broke. So now I have no access. So I had to get my laptop onto Wi-Fi, put the VLAN back, put the subnet back, and then re-enable the trunk between the Meraki and the Cisco switch, and then I could go back to the wired network and everything was working fine again. Again, even though it's a tiny network, it's a little bit complicated because of the way we're doing things and the multiple devices we have, and you have to think about these things because like that, you can break things and then have no connectivity.
See, and one of the things that we were concerned about when we had that blackout was trying to determine what do we turn off first so we don't kind of lock ourselves out of the network, you know? So that's kind of one of the things that we need to plan for, right?
Yeah, and so future plans for some parts of the network, what I want to do is be able to say, okay, if we have to shut certain things down, let it be the testing side. Give me the basics. So the basics, the essentials, what I want to have are, you know, Wi-Fi, wired network for internet and the printer. So like workstations, laptops can plug into the Meraki for internet if they have to. And just have those essential things there hanging off the Meraki. So let's say, for example, we want to shut down the lab. We can do that. Or maybe the switch dies. Well, now what do I do? I have a dead switch. I don't have anything now. Let me plug my workstation into the wired side of the Meraki. Okay, now at least I have internet and I can print. So those are some things that we have to take into consideration when we put this together. So as I go about thinking, how do I do these kinds of things, I have to think about routing, switching, the root bridge for certain things, although that's not too big a deal. That's part of switching because I want to make sure that connections between certain things are, you know, the traffic is flowing the way I want it to, and I'm paying attention to that. Although in our particular situation, it's not too big a deal since there's only two of us, but those are things that we should be thinking about anyway. And again, so when we finish, I want all of the testing to happen on the Cisco switch and beyond. And then that way, if we make a mistake someplace, it's somewhat isolated. And if we, you know, damage
it. It doesn't affect the rest of the network.
Right. So if we damage it all and we have to put it back, we can migrate to the Meraki. Maybe we make a minor change to the Meraki. We have internet. We have what we need. And we wait until we have time to fix the rest of it. And we can put back our switch configuration. We can put back, you know, our test networks or whatever it is. And then we're back in business. But we're not totally dead because we made a mistake somewhere. And that's probably going to be the biggest issue we have is ourselves making a mistake because we do a lot of testing. And at some point, we're going to go into the Cisco, we're going to make a change, and it's going to go away. It's going to be dead.
It just goes to show you, it's really not as simple as it seems. Like, oh, let's clean up the network and, you know, remove what is useless and just kind of keep the very basics. Even to do something like that, there's so much you need to get to take into consideration and realize what devices are affecting other devices. You know, it's just a lot of it. And you know, documentation is important because if you have that documented, for example, you wouldn't have made that mistake with the VLAN if you would have documented that that's kind of how it is with the Meraki. Or, you know, you wouldn't have turned that server off that one time we had the blackout, you know. And it is something that it happens to anyone. You know, it's not that, oh, you know, gee. those are things that, simple as they may be to remember, sometimes you don't, and you need to have that documentation to remind you.
Yeah, and so this time around, I put together a spreadsheet that has all the ports for the Meraki and the Cisco, and then what devices are plugged into those ports.
Oh, cool.
And also what VLAN they're on. And I actually got this from somewhere else, and they, in their example, they actually had like patch panel numbers, they had wall jack numbers, which we don't have, but that's what you would put in there. If you worked in a large organization, you know, you go to the wall jack, well, what switch does this go to? What patch panel number is this? So if you have all of that, then you don't have to think about it. You just go to the wall jack, you get, oh, that's on the switch such and such and goes here and does this and does that. So if I have to make a change, put this in a different VLAN, maybe I have a printer VLAN, I'm going to unplug somebody's workstation, plug a printer in there. Oh, I have to go to this port number on this particular switch to make the change. And you don't have to look it up. You just know where it is because it's in your documentation. So now we have, you know, documentation that says this port goes to my workstation. This port goes to my laptop. This port is going to go to Dorothy's workstation or whatever it is. We don't have to think about it. We just do it, right? So that's a big change. I like that. But then the other thing we have to think about is the security. Like, why would we have so many VLANs? Well, one reason is because we're doing testing. We don't want certain things to be broadcast all over the network. Like, let's say, for example, you want to set up a server with a DHCP on it because you have to do it for maybe you're doing something with Active Directory. You want DHCP, you want DNS, you want all these things that could mess up our existing production network. You can do that on a separate VLAN. And then we talk about the security side. Wi-Fi is separate because if somebody were to hack our Wi-Fi and it was on the same subnet as some of our other devices, they could automatically see them, right? They could scan and see those things. The other thing we can do by having separate subnets is we can limit what kinds of things people can do. Like, let's say, for example, on the Wi-Fi side, we don't want anybody to be able to use ping. We can turn that off. We don't want anybody to SSH into our servers from the Wi-Fi side. We can turn that off. Right? There's things that you can do having separate subnets that you can't do if it's all in one subnet. If it's all in one subnet, you can't really do much of anything.
Yeah, there are some services you're not going to be able to turn off.
Yeah, and you do that at the on the Meraki, or you do that on the Cisco switch. You can go in there and put in your ACLs, and you can specify who has access to what. It's not great. Can be a headache to set up. Can be hard to manage, but it's something that you can do once you have those things in place. So anything that you want to add to this? Any questions? Any things that you're concerned about?
No, not really. I mean, I find the process very interesting. And, you know, like I said, I kind of wanted to know how you were preparing for it, how you were thinking about, you know, where do I begin? Because when I heard you that you were going to say that, I was sitting there thinking to myself, wow, if that was me, how would I approach this kind of thing? And the one thing that kept barking at me, it was like, oh, remember the blackout when we turn off the, and I sat in there and I kept on thinking, okay, so if I had to pick a device and look at the things that were affected by it, how hard of a time would I have that? You know, just the research alone on that would have taken me all day, you know?
Yeah. And some of this stuff, it comes from experience. It comes from training, having used the devices before. But even then, you know, I had that issue with the native VLAN. I turned it off, and then all of a sudden, I don't have access.
You know, and that kind of gave me pause when you said that, because I kept thinking, now every time we acquire a new device, not only do we have to make a plan on how we're going to configure it and how we're going to actually implement it into the network, but we're also going to have to know enough about the device to say, okay, this device doesn't play well unless it has its own little VLAN with this little network or whatever subnet, and you can't delete it no matter what, because if you do, you're going to lock yourself out of this. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, when you buy a device, you're going to have to, how do you know what questions to ask so you don't run into this kind of thing?
Yeah, and that's just tough. And anytime you get a new device, you may not know that you should be asking that question.
And see, to me, if I had to buy a device for a company and, you know, I would have spent thousands of dollars thinking, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then I run into something like this, I'd be terrified.
In our case, we're just going to have to take it slow. Like I said, you know, do things in small batches instead of trying to do it all at once. And we're going to have to, like, what we haven't talked about yet is, where do our servers live and why do they live there? And then how are we going to do our testing? Where does the testing subnets come into play?
Right.
And that's where the documentation is going to be crucial, because oftentimes what happens is we start a project, we forget about it, we don't revisit that for a while. And then what, you know, like when we were looking at your Raspberry Pi stack, we're looking at the switch on your net, on your desk. We looked at the,
But I think we've changed our plan. You know, we're really focused on developing a process for everything that we do. And we're no longer starting a project and saying, ooh, we don't have time for that. Let's move on to this. We're no longer doing that.
Yeah, but those are examples. You know, like when we had to move those off your desk, we wanted to kind of, you know, document some of that. We didn't know what the password was. We didn't know how to access the Palo Alto firewall. We didn't know what the IP addresses were to your Raspberry Pi stack. And so that's where, in our case, because we're doing a lot of testing on the network, we have to document that because things come and go quickly, or we start a project, life gets in the way, a month later we come back to it, we're like, okay, it's still here, it's still active, it's still functioning, but I have no idea how it works.
Yeah, and you have to start over. I mean, that's like kind of the downfall when you drop something and then you decide, oh, I need to go back to that. So, no, I think we've learned a lot by not documenting dropping projects and all of that. We know better now. And while the process is kind of really time consuming and just kind of tough to figure out what we didn't document, I think at the end, we're going to be better off and we're going to feel better.
Yeah. And one thing that I want to point out is that sometimes these test networks, the labs you have at home, may actually be more complicated and difficult to manage than the ones that you have at work, because you have all these VLANs on there, you have all this test stuff going on, and you're trying to do that with limited resources. Like, we don't have a whole bunch of switches that we can apply to this. We don't have a whole separate subnet or separate physical network that we can use for some of this. And maybe that's something that we have to try to take into consideration, to have something completely separate. But even if you do that, you still have to document all that stuff.
True.
Yeah, our network is just overly complicated because of the way we're doing things. And then, like I said, we hadn't documented a lot of that. But like you said, we're changing that. We have documentation. Just the fact that we have a spreadsheet now.
We're learning from our mistakes. And we're going to continue to share the things that happen while we do this and learn from them.
Yeah, so I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to osnap.section9.us. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.